I want you to understand. I take a little time to talk with you and exhort you because I want you to understand. I don't want people that's in, you know, all broken down and torn up trying to buy their way into the kingdom of God by trying to serve me and serve the people and all this. That's good. That's wonderful. But that's no good as far as getting you into the kingdom of God. You're either a child of God by faith in the spilt blood or you're not a child of God. And the only way that you can get there is to repent of your sins, surrender your life to God, because you can give everything you got. And if you are worldly and you still stay in the world and fellowship the world and do the things that the worldly people do, you will die and go to hell. I don't care if you give your whole fortune. That has nothing to do with it. You're going to have to repent of your sins and get clean before God before you ever go into the kingdom of God. All right. I want to read a little bit from the book of Psalms, the 69th chapter. I'll try not to keep you long this morning. It's probably getting a little cool out there. The book of Psalms, the 69th chapter, the first verse. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them that sit, they that sit in the gate, speak against me. And I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters, let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, and they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come in to thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and let not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox. or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Now then, in the 9th verse of the 69th chapter, it's written, "The zeal of thine house has eaten me up." The zeal of thine house. I just finished a few minutes ago speaking of the zeal of different ones coming up here and having a zeal to do this and a zeal to do that, but not in leadership, not in authority, not according to holiness or according to the biblical routine of God, just out of a zeal, wanting to do something, they get in the way of God. And the Bible said here that the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Did you know that the zeal of the Jews, when we speak of the zeal of thine house, the natural type was the Jew. And did you know, according to the Bible, Jesus spoke the same thing. As it is written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. The zeal, the Jews had a zeal. Paul spoke of it. He said, you've got a zeal. But he said, the zeal that you've got is not according to knowledge. It's not according to the Word of God. You've got a zeal. There's people that's got a zeal to gossip. Just go from house to house. They've got a burning zeal. It just burns like fire. Just to get to tell somebody something that they think that they might have heard first. Isn't that right? Just hear something first. And having such a zeal, they've just got to tell everybody before, you know, anybody else has the chance to do it. That's a zeal, but that zeal is not according to the knowledge of God. That kind of zeal hath eaten up the Spirit of God. That it has completely devoured the Spirit of God among the people. There is no Spirit among them because zeal hath driven the Spirit of God out. And so much zeal has come into the church that God doesn't have a place in the church anymore. You follow me? No place in the church for God anymore because of the zeal. Everybody's got a zeal, but not according to knowledge. When you say according to knowledge, that means not according to the Word of God. They don't have a zeal according to the Word of God. Got a zeal, but not according to God's knowledge. And so then, as it is written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Did you know that you cannot serve God with the carnal mind? Don't you know that with all the zeal that you've got, that God will not receive it? If God would have received the zeal, he would have received it from the Jewish people. Did you know that? If God was going to receive a zeal, he would have received it from the Jewish people before he would have received it from the Gentile people. Because they were very sacrificial people, very willing people, and followed after God. But see, God doesn't want a zeal like that. You can't serve God with your carnal mind. God is a spirit. He is the spirit of life. And you can't serve the spirit of life with a carnal mind, with your carnal reasoning. Having parties and having programs. Churches are always having dinners and having programs. Having programs in the church and having youthful meetings and got everything lined up in a program, in a programmed way. You can't serve God like that. You can't serve God by going over here to some college, becoming a PhD. That isn't the call to the ministry. God is a spirit. What does the college know about God? What does those people over there that's read books know about God? You say, well, Brother Pike, they've learned the Greek. They've learned the Hebrew. They've learned the Latin. They can learn all of that and not know nothing about God. They can spend their lives splitting hairs, arguing about the Greek words and what it means and what it doesn't mean, and still know nothing about God at all. That doesn't mean you know anything about God. God is a spirit. The only way to know about God is to get on your knees somewhere and talk to God and pray and seek God. And as you pray and seek God, then God will do something about it. All right. So then it's going to take faith in God to have fellowship with God. Abraham was called the friend of God because he had faith in God. All right. So then it's going to take faith in God as it did in the days of Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God because he had faith in God. And the Bible said because he had faith in God, he was called the friend of God. And if we have faith in God, we'll be called the friend of God. If we have faith in God, then we won't have a zeal that is without the knowledge of God. Because the faith of God cometh by the hearing of the knowledge of God. The faith of God comes by the word of God. And this is the knowledge of God. And whatever the knowledge of God says, if we have faith in it, we will have a zeal according to God's mind and according to God's word. Now then you say, well, what's that got to do with what you spoke of this morning? The word of God tells us there's a minister. The word of God tells us there's deacons. The word of God tells us there's bishops. The word of God tells us there's elders. The word of God tells us that God is not the author of confusion. The word of God tells the wives to honor the husbands. It tells the husbands that they should love the wives and not mistreat them and deal treacherously against them. All of this is the word of God. And whatever the word of God says, if you are obedient to the word of God and follow the word of God, then you have a zeal according to the knowledge of God. And by the Bible tells us that whatever that man doeth, he shall be blessed in it. It'll prosper. It doesn't matter whether he's a carpenter, whether he is a farmer, whatever he is, God will prosper him in what he's doing. It doesn't matter what he is. A lot of people say, well, I'd love to get out of this kind of business and go into this kind of business because I feel that I feel it's better, you know. I feel I could make more money, but that doesn't have anything to do with it. It doesn't have anything to do with it. You can be a painter and make more than the president makes. How do you know that? A painter can make more than the president of the United States makes. Easily. If he will obey God. Obey God. See, it doesn't matter what you're in. It's whether or not you are obedient to Christ. You love the Lord? How do you know that the people of little Bethlehem had as much or more than Jimmy Carter when he ran for president? How do you know that? Sure, they published it in the paper. Now, see, it's serving God that counts. It's serving God. It's having a zeal according to the knowledge of Christ. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I want to serve God, but there's no buts about it. Somebody say, I want to serve Christ, but I just don't feel like it's time. That's a lying spirit. Somebody say, well, I just feel like down the road a little while, a little farther, God's going to save me. That's still a lying spirit. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. That's a lying spirit that's got a hold of you. And after a while, it's going to kill you. It's going to keep luring you and drawing you away till after a while, the dart's going to strike through the liver. The Bible said you can warn a fool, but he'll just keep on going, Jim. He won't stop until the dart strikes to his liver. Why? Because he's a fool. But a wise man will hear you. A wise man will take heed. He'll listen to you. You can tell him the word of God, and the Bible said he'll grow wiser. He'll pay attention to you. But the other one keep procrastinating and putting it off. Always putting it off. Can't feel that it's time. What we need in Bethlehem is a zeal. I want a zeal. I don't want to kill out the zeal within you. I want a zeal, like they call Brother Al Pepe. I want a zeal. Used to call him Pepe in the army. He was just here and there and everywhere. See, called him Pepe, had a zeal. Had a zeal. He was a sergeant in the army, had a zeal to go to and fro. I watch Sister Frances sometimes. She got a zeal here and there and everywhere. Now, that's good. As long as you've got a zeal for God, it's good. But if you don't have a zeal for God, you're going to be in trouble. It's got to be a zeal for God. I want the people of Bethlehem to have a zeal. I don't want them to be lazy and shiftless and not work. I don't want the men to sit around and reproach us and not take care of their wives and babies. And have the people out yonder in the world to say, well, them people at Bethlehem are just lazy and shiftless. I want to be like the little ant. Let's get up and do something for God. Let's be about our Father's business. You ladies, do something for God. Sow something for the people. Well, for a while down here in the building, we had some sewing machines. Get you some materials and sew some clothes. Make some dresses. Encourage people to wear the long dresses. Like here, for instance, I thought a little bit ago when my daughters went up here, I thought now they could walk up them stairs and be ladies. But there's some people that couldn't walk up here and be a lady. Did you know that?
their dress and the way that they dress is in such a condition until they couldn't go up a stairway and be a decent person. It's almost unbelievable. Did you know that some people dress in such a condition that in their own homes, if a woman goes to make up a bed, if she has to get out of the original position of standing, she is a disgrace to them that are standing around. Did you know that? That's horrible. What we need is to serve God. Have a zeal for God and be willing to be a lady and be willing to be a real gentleman. That's what we need to do. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, it's a reproach to wear them long dresses. Well, that's foolish. On television, the television stars wear them. They wear them out yonder when they go to the nightclubs. They wear them all over the country. That's one of the things that's considered outstanding is the women wearing long dresses. If you wear one of them for Christ's sake, you'll be reproached. How do you know that? You just wear one for Christ's sake, I guarantee you'll be reproached. Let the devils and demons frolic in them, go anywhere in them, they'll praise them. But you wear something for Christ's sake. See, you wear something for Christ's sake and they'll reproach you. Is that right? But isn't it a true fact if you serve God in any way, they'll reproach you? Is that right? Anything you do for God is a reproach to the world. So what's the difference? Why worry about it? You know why they're upset with us, folks? Because those people are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. Those people are they that love the things of this world. And the Bible said, if the love of the world is in you, the love of God is not in you. You can be as religious as Cain was, but as sure as you have the love of the world in you, the love of God is not in there. Now, they hate you because they know that you own this world. They know that you own the moon and the stars and the sun and the earth. They know that you own everything in the universe. And they hate you. The devils and demons hate you. Because they can feel you closing in. They can feel you rising up and taking the kingdom. And that you're fixing to destroy their little nest and put the banker out of business and the dentist out of business and the doctor out of business and the lawyer out of business and the church world out of business. You're about to rise up and put them out of business and they know it. And it's tearing them to pieces. And the Bible said they'll get so bad they'll hate you and kill you and think they do God a service. Still be religious like Cain when they kill you. Now, they know that you're rising up to take the kingdom. They know that. They feel that pressure. I said, Brother Pike, you talk like dentists and doctors can't be saved. I tell you what, there's some godly dentists and there's some godly doctors. There's some godly lawyers. I know that. I realize that godly businessmen in the world. There's people today like Esther that was there. I preached the other night on Esther. God's got them in the kingdom. Men like Daniel. Daniel was a celebrity of his day. He was in the kingdom over the king's business. He was a statesman. There were Hebrew children that were over the king's affairs. I know that God's got him. Like women like Anita Bryant. I know that God got his hands on that woman. She isn't living like she ought to according to holiness. But she's doing what she understands in her capacity of life. God's got men, ministers, great men, preachers. And they're doing what they understand to do. And God's going to bring some of them to a closer walk. The ones that isn't really out for God, that's just trying to make a show, God will cut them off and pluck them out of the kingdom. But those great people, a lot of them are extremely great as far as the world's concerned, and they are religious, and God's using them. Now, but the greatness of God is not found in those people like Esther. It's found in people like Mordecai. See, it's the poor people. The poor receive the gospel. God's just got them up there in the celebrities' places for his purpose. But some of them are Christians just like Esther was. But see, the controlling factor is not that they're great in the sight of God, but they're great in the sight of men. But they are instruments of God. See, but the controlling factor are those that love God, that live holy, that dress holy, that walk holy. May not be a celebrity, but they're still great people, and they're the ones that have control of them. And when they finish their mission out there, those people that are so great that you might admire now, like Anita Bright and the others, those people will be subject to you, not you subject to them. See, you got the greater light. That which is up must come down. That which is down must go up. How do you understand what I'm saying? All right, so the inner courts is here, and that's the outer courts. Is that right? They're walking in the light. They're walking in the light of your light. But see, in the realms out there where they're at, they have to be. That light can't be as bright as this light right here. Because if the light out there is as bright as this light, then the people will be blinded out there. So then it has to be broken down and just a little bit of light given to them. Now look at Anita Bryant, for instance. She's risen up against sodomy. And they're making a fuss all over the world about it. There's publications from all over the world concerning. My lands, I've been preaching against sodomy for 20 years. On the radio, in publications. And I'm just one pea in the pod. Hundreds of them have preached against sodomy, but nobody paid any attention to it. But because she was a singer, she picked up a scripture and they thought, my, that's odd for a person out here in the world to quote a scripture, you know, and really stand behind it. So it got her a lot of fame, a lot of publicity, lifted her up. But God had his way in it. Isn't that right? So then God has his way in it. Somebody said, well, why didn't they listen to you and 100 other preachers out there? Some of them did and was converted. But see, the hour to overthrow the world of sodomy and publicize the thing to where the world could see that there is a lot of sodomy, that hour wasn't at hand. And God let the preachers preach under that particular hour. And then when that hour come, God wanted to make effective what the preachers had said. So he began to publicize and lift the thing up to where that they be shook up over it. You love Jesus? I understand that Anita Bryant told him that she'd give up at least $100,000 a year just from one company to stand for the truth. And her husband said he'd stand with her. That's God, isn't it? That is not God, to love God more than mammon. Said, I'll stand up for that which I believe is right. Glory to God. I wish everybody was like that. I might not know as much as the other man, Brother James, but I want to stand for what I believe. Somebody said, well, they'll bust your head open. I think they threatened to kill the girl. They threatened to do away with the children, kill her children. I think maybe a few days ago somebody said they saw her crying. She was crying about it, but said she still was going to stand for that that's right. My land, if a girl that don't know no more about God than that can stand up for something right, look like some of us with a jellyfish backbone can stand up for God. It looks like we take courage and stand up for God. Willing to lose a reputation, lose everything she's got to stand up for God. And then some of us just jellyfish around just any old way. Don't you want to be a Christian? Praise God. I appreciate people like Esther that stood up back there in that day. They had a zeal. See, a zeal. And what kind of zeal was it? It was according to the Word of God. According to the Word of God, a zeal. See, the zeal of Anita Bryant, that's according to the Word of God. It's the proportion she's got. She's reading the Scripture for it. They try to explain it away, but she said, you can explain it away, but it's still God's Word. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for God's Word. Somebody that will stand. I wish I had women here that would stand up for God's Word instead of lusting after men and frolicking after men and following after that kind of thing. But stand up and be a real woman like Mary and Elizabeth and be a lady. Glory to God, when a man comes around with his filthy grins that she'll turn around and walk off and leave him standing there. Instead of dilly-dallying around with him. You start dilly-dallying around with women and men and God will kill you. Did you know that? God will kill you and get you out of the way. God doesn't want little Bethlehem reproached. I can't help what they say falsely. The Bible said when they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, be exceedingly glad, leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets before you. I can't help it if they falsely accuse me. You can't help it if they falsely accuse you. But the Bible said if we suffer as wrongdoers, if their complaint is justified, then God doesn't get any glory out of that. But if their accusations are false, then God gets glory out of it. And I know that their accusations against me are false. But it said here, I become the song of the drunkard. They reproached me everything that I did. It was the Spirit of God speaking in David. Said they lifted me up and gave me vinegar. They abused me. Found fault against me. They sought my destruction. They had a zeal, but not according to knowledge. But David didn't revile them. But David did pray this prayer. Said, let their table become a snare unto them. Lord, bind them in their iniquities and cut them off, God, that seek my hurt. Now, under the law, they did that. They demanded judgment under the law. The Jews demanded judgment when they prayed. Today we pray, God, have mercy. God, forgive them. God, they don't know what they're doing. We pray for grace in the south. But under the law, the Jews demanded judgment. When people done wrong, they demanded judgment. Therefore, they had to pay with judgment. We demand grace. Therefore, we receive grace. He that showeth grace and mercy shall receive grace and mercy. You love Jesus? I love to tell a thing just like it is. And sometimes it don't sound too good. It doesn't sound too good. But I often stop and I think, Lord, a human being, what's greater than a human being? A man or a woman, a little child, something that can walk and talk, something that's a sovereignty of its own and can see. Think for itself, what's greater than that? Nobody could make anything like that. I think, God, thou hast made such a wonderful masterpiece. And yet, that man, that woman, will sell their soul for a few bodily passions of some messy, filthy mess. That's what it is. Dirty, filthy mess. The Bible even speaks like this. It speaks of your menstruous garments and your filth. And a man will stoop so low that he'll sell his soul over some dirty, filthy mess because of some sloppy person. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That's what it is. If a little boy jumps in the middle of a pig pen and he gets sloppy and more sloppy, when he comes in, the mama look at him and say, son, you are a sloppy mess. That's what it is. Why do you want to sell your soul? A woman's nothing but flesh and bones, just a little flesh over her. And without God, she's a filthy mess. Why do you want to lose your soul over it? And a man is the same thing. Without God, he's nothing but a mess, just a sloppy mess. In this world, as a woman, you perspire and you stink. As a man, you perspire and you stink. You're just a mess. But in God, we are sons and daughters of Christ, polished from the filth of this world, clean and holy. Mighty gods, there's no filth about us. We are precious like jewels that can outshine the noonday sun, clean and holy and eternal. No death. You know, you take an old dead dog laying out of the road. Go by, one day you see a nice, beautiful dog walking around. The next day you find that a car has hit that dog, and that dog is laying out there, and that dog is beginning to swell up. The next day you go by, you see some blowflies around it. The next day he's turned into kyarn, what they call kyarn. He's become black, and maggots are working in him. See, he can't stand to get close to it. Nothing wants to fellowship him but the buzzards. That's why you have the fellowship you do. You get in that kind of condition, you have to look for the buzzards, because that's all it wants to fellowship you. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right, so then, that's the way it is. Without God, we're nothing but just something that they'll put out in the ground, rot, turn into kyarn, smell and infiltrate the air, and nothing but the buzzards will have us. But oh my, let me tell you something. When you're born again, when you're changed worlds, when you become a son of God, you are a God. You cannot perish. You cannot rot. You can't turn to the things of this world. The love of God constrains you. You're holy. You're pure. You're clean. There's something precious about you. There's something mighty. There's something celestial. There's something that you'll never rot. You'll never wrinkle. You'll never fade away. But you are an eternal God. There is no uncleanness about you. You are the perfect masterpiece of God. How many believe I'm telling you the truth? See, having a zeal. Let's have a zeal according to the knowledge of God. I want to have a zeal according to the knowledge of God. Don't you go to town? I say this again. Don't go up there with a sloppy sack on. Sit down and make yourself a dress and look like a lady. And go up there and represent little Bethlehem in the kingdom of God. Folks, you're the representation of the kingdom of God. You're the daughters of God. Don't get a baby under your arm like a sack of potatoes. Go through town somewhere and you and your husband going yank, 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 fussing and arguing and fighting. If you've got any words, take it back home. Now, if you have any differences, don't be running around with always going around with a gossiping tongue. Everybody, every little thing that happens, you got to tell somebody about it. Don't do that, folks. And you men, stop getting in pants so tight it looks like you've been melted and poured in them to try to look like a cowboy. Or try to look like somebody that's supposed to be something pretty. Why don't you get away from that foolishness? They'll come around and say, God don't never show me nothing. No wonder God don't show you nothing. You never fellowship God. All of your mind's on yourself. You love Jesus? Let's be a real man. Let's be a real woman. Now, I know Brother Terrell won't even let you come into his pulpit with cowboy boots on. I don't feel like that because less like Brother John James, and he's from the West. They brought up out there. They wore them things. They're just shoes. That's all. Just like anybody else. It might be from Holland, anywhere else. But I tell you what, when we get a drugstore cowboy that wants to be a preacher, I'm with Brother Terrell on it. I don't think he's got any business up in the pulpit. Ladies, men, somebody that wants to be a ladies' man, he ain't got no business up here. Somebody that's got a zeal, it's just heard something or something's come to his mind, and he just wants to tell everybody about it before anybody else has a chance. He ain't got no business up here. That's just a novice. That's all it is. But I want some people that love the Lord Jesus. People that haven't got their minds on their faces and on their bodies, but they're looking on things of others, esteeming others to be better. And somebody that loves the people, that wants to help the people and save the people and do something for the people. Not do something just to tell a whole lot of things so somebody will listen and have an audience just to lift themselves up and somebody will go say, Rabbi, Rabbi, Rabbi. So that's what the Bible said. They love the salutations in the marketplace. They love to have long robes. They love to be called of men rabbi. Love the chief places in the synagogue. That's what Jesus said. Don't run up here every time the video's on so you can get your picture. If you love God, carry you to sing for God. If you don't, stay back down there until you get right with the Lord. All right. God bless you. I'm coming in too strong. You just have to pray for me. Okay, let's stand up, folks. And I love you. Rude in speech, but not in knowledge. I don't mean to be rude. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing. I've got to keep some order. See, the Bible said taking the oversight over the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the flock of God, which He's purchased with His blood. Isn't that right? It's like yesterday when Brother Jerry Lambert and some of them was working in the restrooms down here trying to fix the restrooms. What if they had not taken the oversight? Or what if I had not taken the oversight? And some of my leaders here, governors, taken the oversight. What if they had not do that? You wouldn't even have restroom facilities. What if I didn't say something? We wouldn't have any order in this place at all. It'd be like a madhouse in here. I've got to raise my voice. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Don't just get up there and whisper, but lift your voice up like a trumpet. You hear Brother Dwight over here when he sounds out on that trumpet and he really blasts out. You know he's in the corner. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people about their sins. I'm trying to help you stay out of the wrath of God. Stay away from the wrath of God. I want to help you stay away from the wrath of God. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? How many of you are glad to be here? Down at the cross where my Savior died. Was the blood applied? Well, there to my heart was His blood applied. Oh, glory to His name. Sing it with me.
Oh, glory to His wonderful sweet name. Oh, glory.